Scott Safransky, Interim Dean, John Cook School of Business, St. Louis University.
Tim Keene, Executive Director, Emerson Ethics Center for the John Cook School of Business.
The conference is a gathering of administrators, deans, presidents, and faculty members from Jesuit colleges and universities literally all over the world. We have somewhere around 120 participants. They present papers. There are major keynote speakers. We have a couple of events off campus in St. Louis, visiting the Danforth Science Center, Busch Stadium. And it's actually a joint meeting between two groups, the International Association of Jesuit Business Schools, IAJBS, and the Colleagues in Jesuit Business Education, CJBE.
The important thing for a lot of us is the economies of scale that our Jesuit Business Network offers us. There are over 100 universities worldwide that are Jesuit universities. And so when we have programs like this, or any programs for that matter, we share that knowledge, we share that information, and we can quickly reach a global audience with very little effort.
And what sort of are the key topics that will be discussed during the conference?
Our focus this year is sustainability. And so we're looking at things like sustainability in higher education, sustainability in emerging economies, sustainability in business operations. That's basically the focus.
Sustainability is a broad term. I mean, it means different things to different groups. So define sustainability within the context of this conference.
Well, I think sustainability, as you said, has many different meanings to many different people. Probably the most commonly understood definition is sustainable development, which is use of resources today without disabling the ability of future generations to thrive. So.
And that's also financial sustainability as well. I mean, we think sustainability just in terms of the environment, but some of it sounds like what you're talking about is also fiscal sustainability.
Well, if an organization, a company, a business is executing sustainability well, then they're conserving resources, and so they're reducing costs. If they're a company like Enterprise, for example, who has purchased 100,000 electric cars, then they're also going to market to target conservation-minded consumers. And so they're doing both. They're increasing revenue and they're saving costs.
How do you convince a business? How do you convince not only a business school, but also go out and convince the business community that this is a worthwhile endeavor?
Well, I think it's something you said earlier. It's not sustainability if you're not financially sustainable. Mm-hmm. And as Tim said, it's something you can sell. If Enterprise has gone out and purchased 100 electric cars, and as Tim said, it's selling its services to conservation-minded individuals, it has to be financially sustainable or you're not going to be in business. But sustainability is, if it's done right, it is financially sustainable, and it's important for our environment and the resources, you know, down the road that you need to continue to operate.
Yeah, so it sounds like using it almost as a marketing tool is part of what it would take to convince a business to take on more sustainable practices.
Yes, I don't want to sell it. I don't want to oversell it as a marketing tool. Mm-hmm. But clearly, if you're going to sell businesses on something, if you're going to convince businesses that it's worth their while, it needs to have something that helps them move their business forward. But I think the conference is very, very genuinely focused on maintaining the resources for future generations while making it feasible for businesses to manage it.
Well, I would just agree with Scott and say that there's the notion of traction with businesses, and I think when we over the years have tried to sell ethics or corporate social responsibility, that's fairly nebulous. And we all know the story of Enron. They had the finest code of conduct of any company in the world, probably, right before they went belly up, right before they ripped off the entire world. And so that is sometimes hard to put your finger on, ethics, corporate social responsibility. This is a question of shared value. It's good for the company. It's good for their stakeholders. It's good for the community as a stakeholder, their employees, and when a company can save money by reducing their use of electricity, by reducing their use of water, and when they can make money by selling products that have been sustainably produced or pure green products, then that's a double hit for them.
What's the market for sustainable products these days? How are those numbers moving?
Well, it's growing tremendously, and I'd say that most companies that are forward-thinking have either begun to produce or at least scoping products that are green. Now, having said that, there's a caveat. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has issued guidelines on what they call greenwashing, which essentially is a company or an organization that tries to position, from a marketing communication standpoint, a product as green when in effect it's not that green, that they can't demonstrate its, reduction of resources to produce and that sort of thing. And so those guidelines from the FTC are typically a precursor to actual laws. And so what the guidelines done is told organizations, we need you to be transparent, we need you to be communicating honestly and ethically about your greening and your products, and if you do that, everything's fine. If you don't do that, then the next step is we're going to look at some regulations on you.
It sounds a little like consumer behavior is shifting and these companies are reacting to this growing interest in sustainability, and that's figuring out how to get businesses to that midpoint between the two forces.
There's no question about it, and the next generation, the millennials, those born from 1982 till 2002, that generation doesn't have to be sold on this. That generation grew up being hovered over by baby boomer parents about recycling and such, and it's part of their personality, their embedded recursive practices. They look at things like sustainability very seriously, and they want organizations to do the same, or they'll take their business elsewhere.
Going back to the fact that you're bringing in folks from business schools from around the world, how has business education changed?
The major international accreditor, AACSB International, expects that business schools are going to deal with subjects such as ethics and sustainability and diversity, those sorts of things, throughout their curriculum. So we're expected. I mean, many business schools, and I think the Jesuit business schools have been on the leading edge, but business schools across the country and across the world are leading into this area, but they're also expected to be able to show that they've paid attention to this and not just covered it in a class or covered it in the 14th chapter that you don't get to at the end of the course, but throughout the curriculum.
But just in terms of the culture of teaching sustainability, I mean, obviously you have that requirement, but I'm curious, if you've been in this field for a while, when you look at a student who would come out of an MBA program, say in 1990 versus 2013, What's kind of the difference there?
Well, I think again, part of it is what part of it is what Tim just said, is that you don't have to convince the millennials; they're already there. I think building a culture is a very slow process, and you don't do it in a day. But I think if you talk about a student coming out, I guess you said 1994 or something like that, it just wasn't really on the horizon of students in that day. It wasn't a very big part of the curriculum. That was when you would probably find a chapter in a management textbook that covered greening, green efforts and so forth. But I think, building the culture is a matter of just keeping at it, both from, the experiences of the students off campus and in various other areas on campus. St. Louis University has got a pretty strong sustainable recycling green program. They build buildings now that are I guess you'd call them green. They're sustainable. So the students are seeing it. They're hearing it in the classrooms. They're talking about it in cases. I do a simulation where, they can save a certain amount of money and be more profitable, going back to what we said, if you make good sustainable choices. And so it's a slow process, but you build it.
I would just add that this notion of traction is an important one for students coming out of their degree programs. And traction in their mind is, how am I going to get a job, right? So in the workforce, employers are looking for these individuals who have quantitative skills, yes, but these softer skills are more critical now. Things like critical thinking. There was a survey done here in this region, some 600 employers a couple of years ago, that identified sustainability knowledge and skills would be critical to them for their hiring practices. Now, when they were, you know, pressed on it and they wanted to know, well, what exactly does that mean? You know, many of them went back to some of this, these more traditional ideas of soft skills, critical thinking, ethical values, and the understanding of foundational principles of sustainability. You know, from the simple ones like recycling, reusing, and repurposing, to, you know, the understanding of the difference that various energy sources contribute to the use of our ecosystem services, of the Earth's, you know, resources. So,
right. So it sounds a little like sort of the rubber meets the road element in this, which is, this is all really fun to talk about in the classroom, but am I going to get a job after school based upon some of this knowledge? And it sounds like companies are, when they go through recruiting and look for a student that's coming fresh out of an MBA program or out of an undergraduate business program, that they want to see that they're capable of having substantive conversation about sustainability and marketability within that.
Absolutely. That's an embedded core competency for these organizations that is hard to imitate from their competitors. If they hire people that have these skills and this knowledge, all of a sudden they've created a differentiation for themselves in the marketplace if their competitors aren't doing the same.
What do you hope to get out of this conference specifically when all these folks from Jesuit business schools from all over the world come here? What do you hope tangibly happens when they go back to their schools?
Well, as Tim said, this is an absolutely wonderful network. The Jesuit business schools and the Jesuit colleges and universities network in all sorts of ways. So, you know, we're getting a bunch of academics and academic administrators together. We're sharing how we teach things in the classroom. We're sharing what we're doing. We've got paper sessions on how individuals teach certain aspects of sustainability. We've got paper sessions on initiating educational programs on the continent of Africa. And, you know, we share these things in this conference, and people, I think, take them back to their classrooms. They come back with new ideas or good ideas. They've come back with advice, practical advice that has worked elsewhere that they can apply. there are certainly connections made, research connections made. I think Tim's made a number himself through IAJBS. And, of course, what we like is they're all coming to St. Louis. And so they're seeing St. Louis. They're seeing the sorts of things that are happening at St. Louis University and the St. Louis community. And I think that's helping us.
And essentially, is this sort of, and this phrase gets tossed out a lot, is this sort of teaching the triple bottom line? Is that essentially what this is? Or is that just another buzz term that gets thrown out there and we're on to something else at this point?
No, I don't think I can add much or I can say much other than yes. I think it's teaching the triple bottom line.
One of the things I wanted to touch upon was back in 2008 when we had the financial tsunami, when, you know, the world was awash in red ink because of the Wall Street issues. A group of universities got together and partnered with the United Nations and created what they called the United Nations Principles for Responsible Management Education. And essentially it was some core principles that every business school across the globe, whether they're Jesuit or not, ought to be embracing. And, you know, there are things like, you know, core values, sustainability, mm-hmm. dialogue. Those core principles, they call them the UN Prime, are part of the UN Global Compact now. And business schools are signing up to be members of the UN Prime. That's a core element of this conference as well. Most of the organizations that are there have become members of UN Prime, and they're sort of embracing their future obligations and embedding them into their curriculum. So
that's an interesting point. How has the global financial crisis perhaps changed the way that even business schools operate?
Well, I think it's had a dramatic impact on how business schools operate. I'm not sure it's had a dramatic impact, quite frankly, on the way Wall Street operates. Mm-hmm. However, having said that, you know, because higher ed is taking the lead now and really trying to embed a different mentality, different skills, you know, a balanced, holistic view of what a business person should be, mm-hmm. not just a profit maximization view of what a business person should be. That's what we're trying to do. We're hoping that the next generation will be the leaders that, you know, don't allow our economy to be taken hostage by a financial system that has no accountability.
So it's not just sustainability in terms of the environment, but it's also sustainability in terms of looking at investments in a way that is something that can be sustained into the future, that's not sort of playing on the margins, so to speak.
Absolutely. There's no exploitation of underdeveloped markets, for example. Mm-hmm. When companies expand, they're thinking about how they can expand in a responsible way globally to support developing nations, right? That's probably the antithesis of the type of growth that was in a purely financial-based economy, where margin calls were really dictating what we generated economically for our country.